Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme, 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. I had one of those mornings, you know, when busy mornings on the phone to here, there and everywhere about books and TV programmes and all sorts of things. And I thought to myself last night when I saw the great story about Father Ted quotes been featured on stamps, wouldn't it be great to get the quotes out and just play them out for you of a Friday to entertain you? I thought that last night. Did I say it to anybody? Did I think about it? No, not until 2 minutes ago, which was too late. But the good news is that Pauline MacLynn will be in with us next Tuesday to talk about the fact that those quotes are going to be around forever now on stamps. And I saw there was an article in the Guardian about them today. So it's big news, international news. What's your favourite stamp? Text us now, 51551. That was a joke. Or ray@rte.ie. More cancellations. I heard the man from the Young Scientist say that was not cancelled, but they're going virtual with it. So there won't be thousands and thousands of young people from all over the country gathering in the RDS in the first week in January to talk about science and other things. Because it's not just about the science, it's about the social aspect. And I was involved in it for years, and it's just such a wonderful event. So I was very sad to hear that it won't be happening. They're doing it virtually, which isn't the same, is it? No, it's not. We know that now. But the other cancellation that's hot off the presses, which is sad news for viewers of RTE1 television on a Saturday night, Winning Streak will not be returning this autumn due to ongoing restrictions related to COVID-19. Both National Lottery and RTE are disappointed to postpone the show, but given the unprecedented challenges posed by COVID-19, producing the programme while managing social distancing in studio, we feel provides too much risk to players, their families who travel from all over the country, and the staff of RTE, National Lottery and KPMG. They're the independent observers, as you well know. So that's sad news for Marty and Sinead as well, and everybody who enjoys that on a Saturday night. Good news, of course, for people who are looking to get their hands on large pieces of white card and markers, because there'll be a lot more of them around now. They won't be in as big demand as they would have been if Winning Streak went ahead. We spoke to Dr. Róisín Conaton yesterday, and we got a huge reaction to her then and overnight to ray@rte.ie. Sort of an old head on young shoulders. And she was speaking about her experience working through lockdown and the fact that over the Easter weekend, she had pronounced more people dead than she had in her full medical career. And Anonymous was on to us overnight. After hearing your show today and listening to Dr. Róisín Conaton speaking, I felt compelled to write in. After losing my wonderful father-in-law recently, a lot of what she said really hit a nerve. My husband and his family are still grieving, and I'm trying my best to be there and support them as best I can. The month from hell doesn't even begin to describe what they've been through. Reading about Golfgate after the funeral was horrible and such an insult after telling people to stay away from the funeral for their own health and well-being. What really hurts is when you see comments on various articles in relation to numbers. If, for example, there were one or two deaths reported, there's always someone remarking there are only two deaths today, or it only seems to affect the elderly or those near the end of life on some of these articles. It's these dismissive and insensitive comments that are hurtful to those who lost someone to the virus. People need to remember there are devastated families and friends behind the numbers all over the country. I couldn't even comfort my husband as his father was seriously ill in hospital as he had to self-isolate, and I will have to live with that forever. His father was the most careful man when it came to minding himself during the pandemic. People need to seriously wise up. COVID-19 is taking no prisoners. So wear a mask, physically distance and wash your hands. That's Anonymous. And in relation to your previous interview, and this was Róisín Conaton as well, what a lovely woman. Regarding people breaking measures, freedom with responsibility is true freedom, as it is respectful and doesn't encroach on the right to freedom of others. However, freedom taken without responsibility is freedom by entitlement and selfishness. If only people were taught this and practiced it, we would have a better society. Very interesting chat on Liveline today about forgiveness, and people have to be held accountable for their actions. And sometimes it takes public outcry to get people to do what they should do in the first place. So there has to be a bit of anger there to get things done. And I suppose maybe forgiveness comes with time. I don't know. But it was a very interesting conversation about who we are and how we behave and what we've become. If we have changed at all, I don't know. Ray, you had a fella, Carl Honoré, on the show about a year ago. We did. I'm a big fan of his. He wrote two very influential books, one in praise of slow life, a book about appreciation of everything from food to sex, slowly, and savouring pleasures. His second book, Bolder, I think that's what we had him on for, a book about making the most of our longer lives and great possibilities available to us. Wonder, does this still apply in these changing and peculiar times? It might be interesting to get him back on the show. Well, thanks for the suggestion. So that's next week sorted, though. We have put in a request to talk to Carl Honoré again, and hopefully he'll say yes. And I remember Boulder because we are living longer, you see. Like the life expectancy age in Ireland is into the 80s, and if you retire 65, 66, then you've the best part of 20 years to still fill. And he was talking about what we should be doing and how we should be approaching our lives. Like 65 is just an arbitrary number that somebody picked out of the sky years ago when we didn't live as long. And I think that's a sort of a notion that can be applied to a lot of things. And I've been thinking about it during lockdown and COVID-19, that we've arrived at situations that completely happened by accident. Like, you know, for example, the 8-hour day, the weekend, working 45 or 47 weeks in the year, working in an office, doing all, these are all arbitrary things. They weren't done by design. Nobody sat down and decided through research that this would be the best way to live our lives. We sort of stumbled into these situations. And I suppose what has happened over the last 6 months, it's given us an opportunity to question, well, is this the best way to do things? Is going into an office to do your work the best way of doing it when you can do it at home? Is part of going into an office a social interaction, something that we need as human beings? Is that part of it? So is the best thing to split it, maybe? Split it in two. Half in the office, half at home. And then if you're at home and you have children and you have to mind them, how does that affect your productivity? How can employers monitor their employees? Or are employees responsible enough to do what they need to do at home without supervision? All of these questions have to be asked. It's interesting. Everything's been thrown up in the air. And we'll only see in the next few years how they all land. Michael, I like your style, Michael. He's been on to us from Nantes, in France. He says, I live in Nantes, love the show. I make the odd email contribution. Thanks, Michael, keep them coming. He lives in a village called Bono. I'm sure it's pronounced Bono in France. B-O-N-O, yeah, it's same as the singer and the Latin word. For good, isn't it? Bonavox, isn't that where he got his name from? From a hearing aid shop in O'Connell Street. Did I just make that up or is that what happened? Is that where Bono got his name from? Somebody will tell me, 51551. Anyway, Michael sent us an email from Bono in France. And he says, with all this COVID misery, which may get worse shortly, what have you asked your listeners, what would be their idea of a fabulous wild weekend? They can do anything they want. They can spend the weekend with anybody they wish. Anywhere they wish in the world. Okay, we have it, Michael. I asked my brother the question and he said he would like to spend the weekend on the space station orbiting the Earth. Nice. Sort of a Chris Hadfield view of the world. So the sky's the limit, says Michael. I myself, to get the ball rolling, would like the following. A helicopter picks me and my friend up in the field near my house in Nantes, near Bono, and takes us to the heliport in Paris. Car then to take us to the Ritz Hotel. Woo, woo. Freshen up. Limo to the Jules Verne restaurant on the second floor of the Eiffel Tower for dinner. Need I say more? What do you think? Enchanté, Michael. Or should it be Michelle? So there, that's a great question, isn't it? I don't know what I do. So anywhere in the world, sky's the limit. Don't put any restrictions on it. With anybody, do anything. 2 days. Do you know what it is? This is boring, but I do it in Ireland. I do it with my wife, my family. Good weather would be, yeah, on the cards if you could arrange that. Lots of water activities. That'd be good. Good food. Seafood. But the company of my wife and my family, that'd do me. Anyway, so Michael's thrown down the gauntlet there, the wild weekend gauntlet. He wants to know what you would do. Let us know. It's good. It's a bit of a fantasy thing, isn't it? On this sort of, it's not particularly wet still, but it's overcast and it's grey. Not a typical August day. So let your imagination run free. What would you like to do on a wild weekend? Who would you like to do it with? Give us all the details. Food, travel, what you'd wear, all those sort of things. 51551 Ray at RTE dot IE. We announced it yesterday and more details today. Next week, we're searching for Ireland's best chicken wings recipe. People have their ways of doing things. I've tried numerous different recipes over the years. I've arrived at one that satisfies me and Jenny, which is all that matters. But I'm sure there are people out there with secret recipes and we want them to share them with us. And we're going to be talking about that after 4 o'clock. And we've two young cocooners to talk to, because when you hear the word cocooner now, you immediately assume the person is over 70. Well, that's not the case. Loads, hundreds, thousands of people under 70 and quite young have to cocoon because of medical issues. And we're going to meet two of those on the show today and lots more. Let's see what you're saying on stamps. My favourite stamp has to be my Fillinnet stamp, beside my Fillinnet coin, beside my miniature Fillinnet statue. Bit of a pattern here. The perfect trilogy. Is Philip the first person to have a coin, a stamp and a statue in his name and a biopic soon to be released? Is it biopic or biopic? That's Paul and Drimnet. That's a question there. Can you answer that for Paul? Is Phil Lynott the first person to have a coin, a stamp and a statue? I would imagine there must have been presidents. You know, there must have been presidents of Ireland, former presidents of Ireland who would have had a coin, a stamp and a statue. Would they? Paul asked that question. Answer it now. 51551 Ray at RT.ie. Love the Father Ted stamps. At times I lived my life vicariously through Father Ted quotes, and the comedy has got me through so many ups and downs. Have more feckin' tea. Go on, go on, go on. Go on, Tom. That's Tom in Miami. Down with that sort of thing. Unbelievable that Unpost would strike stamps for Father Ted, a show that still panders to the worst elements of paddywhackery. Ah, Frank. Come on. Lighten up. Now, that's the worst thing you can say to somebody, is lighten up. Frank is fuming now. I do apologise, Frank, for saying lighten up to you, because I hate when people say it to me. So apologies. Bono Vox was on North Earl Street, says Anne in Dublin 13, and that's where Bono got his name from. Ray, Bono Vox was a music shop, and because Bono fancied himself as a singer, everyone who knew him started slagging him, calling him Bono. Little did they know, the slagging turned out well for him in the end. That's Cormac. And retirement at 65 is too early for some, but for me, it suited me, to be honest. I love freedom. Wish I never had to work, says that person. And late in life, I quit my old job and went to college for 4 years. I'm now a qualified furniture designer. No intention of retiring at 65. Only getting going, says Jerry. And we spoke to Brian Murray yesterday. He's 71 and still acting away on Fair City, which returns to our screens next week. Eleanor Roosevelt said, freedom makes a huge requirement of every human being. With freedom comes responsibility. It's like a Donald Trump quote, isn't it? Sorry. Eleanor Roosevelt served as the First Lady of the United States from 1933 to 1945 during her husband, President Franklin, four terms in office, making him the longest serving, or she was the longest serving First Lady of the United States. That's just an added bit of information there from our texter. Thank you very much for that. I'm reading Mary L. Trump's book at the moment about her uncle, Donald Trump. And it's a great read because it helps you to understand the man who is Donald Trump and what made him who he is. And as I read it, I'm understanding him more and more. And then I was watching his speech. Was it from the South Lawn outside the White House? I was watching a bit of it this morning. And you're doing is you're seeing him as a younger man and as a child, and all of his personality is coming through and what he's saying and how he's saying it. It's very interesting. Would love to go to New York and see Wicked on Broadway and then dinner with Louis Theroux. Is it Theroux or Theroux? Because he fascinates me. That's my weekend sorted. Regards, and Eve. I saw him in The Guardian yesterday talking about a polo neck jumper he bought at Gap. It was his favourite item of clothing. It was a wool and cotton mix, just for your information. Ribbed. Anyway, in beige. Hey Ray, Dev and Daniel O'Connell, to name two straight away, have coins, stamps and statues. Thanks for that, Bref. Rory Gallagher had a coin, stamp and a statue before Phil Lynott. Go for a rake of pints with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson from Michael and Mayo. Ah, yes. What was the Bruges? Wasn't that the name? That was the great movie. That was a brilliant movie. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. I remember back, I interviewed both of them when that was released, and they're just great company and good crack, and it's all good fun. Anyway, 51551 RayRT.ie. Good afternoon. Candy Staten, Young Hearts Run Free on RT Radio 1, 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. It's only like about 3 years ago that I really listened to the lyrics of that song. I always thought it was a happy, sunny song. It's actually quite a sad song, but it's one I love. Now, weather. It's beautiful down here in Cork. The sun is shining, fit to burst. Cork's the true capital, says Oreo in Cork. And on the stamp coin situation, Ray Che Guevara, I am fairly sure, has a stamp, a statue, a T-shirt, a song and a coin in his honour, says Sean OG. And Michael from Nantes has thrown down the fantasy weekend gauntlet, and he wants us all to go on a flight of fantasy. Or a flight of fancy. Is it a flight of fancy? And imagine where we would like to go if there were no restrictions. If we could go wherever, to wherever, with whoever, what would you do? Keith says, my perfect weekend is when our tribe come to our house in Lucan from Kerry for a Saturday barbecue, followed by a great night in Dublin while all the kids have their own party. Hank sandwiches back home after pubs close. Looking forward to great weekends again. Have a great one, says Keith. Of course, you can't do that now. Six people from three households. I'd like to spend a weekend with Bob Dylan, says Val. And Neil says, a weekend on the lash with Marty Morrissey and Eamon Dunphy. Marty doesn't drink, of course. Yeah, that'd be, I don't know how that'd go. I'd like to be a fly on the wall. I'd love to run up the infamous steps in Philadelphia with none other than Rocky himself, Sly Stallone. Yeah, and this is a radio station and we do have a large library of songs, and you think I would have gone and got that before. It's just one of those days. If this was over, me and my other half would get on a plane to Oz to visit my son Jack. He's in Bryan Bay working and living there, and I'm missing him so much. I would rent a camper van and spend 4 or 5 weeks there and travel the Gold Coast and just relax, swim, walk and eat in the top restaurants. Vinny and Douglas. It's only a weekend, Vinny, not 4 or 5 weeks. You're pushing it there. On retirement, can't wait for 65. Only 9 years, 5 months, 25 days to go. Not that I'm counting. Oh, no. See, when I read that, I was thinking, will I calculate how long I've left? And I said, I stopped myself because you don't want to be counting down to retirement. It slows things down when you count down. For my perfect weekend, hire a Harley Davidson and cruise every lane and road of Ireland until I've seen the four corners of Ireland. Beautiful country. I might be over 50, but never too old to live the dream, says Marie. My weekend will be South Pole Inn in Annascaul, home of Tom Crean, says Paul, out on the Dingle Peninsula. And on cocooners, I'm a 24-year-old and I've been cocooning due to my autoimmune disease. I look healthy to anyone but my doctor, says that person. 51551, ray@rte.ie.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Mm-hmm.
There it is, there it is, yeah, there it is, yeah. So, wild weekends, fantasy weekends. Emmett in Dublin 12, I'd love to visit Jurassic Park without all the running and the screaming. Kay says, my first grandchild is one today, but she's in New York, so that's where I'd like to be. Space station not allowed, Ray. Remember, sky is the limit, according to Michael. That's Sean and Nace. It's Madagascar for me to see the lemurs, so somebody else. And sitting down on Friday night with Annette and my wife, movie on pause, waiting for the takeaway to be delivered, door bell rings and it's the takeaway delivered by Morgan Freeman. You'd have to ask him to come in. What a chat we'd have, says Davey. And All-Ireland football final weekend. Couldn't wish for a better place to be watching the green and red of Mayo. What a weekend! There you go. All those fantasy weekends. Now, I suppose a bit of fantasy about this. Would you like to win for yourself a 150-year-old cottage tucked away between the mountains and the river, 5 kilometres from Foxford in County Mayo? Well, it could be yours by 10 o'clock tonight. We have Joan on the line. How are you doing, Joan?
Hi, Ray. Thank you for talking to me.
Yeah, no, thank you for taking time out. This is a wonderfully generous thing yourself and Patrick have decided to do. So tell our listeners what it is you're doing.
What we're doing is we've put up this raffle, this cottage for raffle for €10 ticket. It's been going for a couple of months, and we're doing it to say thank you and to make a gesture to all the people in the health service, in the acute hospitals, who up to now have not been recognised fully. The people who support the doctors and nurses in their work, but who have their own jobs to do at great danger to themselves at times.
Yeah.
People like cleaners, orderlies, catering staff, and those people who do those jobs and who go into their work every day with great risk to themselves during the pandemic and even at other times, and who have not been fully thanked or recognised.
Yeah, they're putting themselves in harm's way every day going into work. You're a doctor yourself, retired now.
Yes, I am a doctor. I'm retired 10 years now.
Yeah, so you understand the contribution that these people make to the whole medical service that's provided to patients. So tell us a little bit about your story. You live in Canada, is it?
Well, we're based in Ireland, but we live in Canada for part of the year.
Okay.
And we also go to Mexico, which we did earlier this year, to watch where the whales come in to have their calves, where it's nice and warm and calm.
Nice. And that's when the COVID was sort of sweeping across the world at that stage, was it?
Well, that's when it was starting, and we didn't actually hear about it until the beginning of March. We thought, oh, it was somewhere else. But then on the way back, we had driven down there. On the way back, we heard the news, and we thought, oh, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah. And you wanted to get back home, I'd imagine, as quick as you could. How is Patrick now? Because I know he wasn't diagnosed with COVID-19, but you reckon he got it?
Well, he wasn't tested, and we weren't tested to see if we had it or not. But when we got to the Canadian border, we were living on an island, off Vancouver Island, and they told us, go straight home, self-isolate for 14 days. If you get any symptoms at all, call the health line.
Okay.
And on that, the nurse, registered nurse, spoke to Patrick and asked him all his symptoms and how it had gone, and she said, oh, that sounds extremely likely that you have it.
Right. How is he now?
Now he has recovered from it. Thank God he didn't die. It was very scary at times, and I was able to nurse him through it because I wasn't. I only had very mild symptoms.
Okay.
And now he has still not recovered his sense of taste and smell. He has some damage in his lungs. His oxygen levels in his blood are lower.
Right.
Than he should be, and his heart still does funny something inside his chest.
Yeah, because we're hearing about that more and more as we learn more about COVID-19, that the after effects linger.
Yes.
Yeah, which is worrying.
Because it's now 5 months since he had it.
Right. Tell us about the cottage.
The cottage is about 160 years old, and it's in the Ox Mountains. It's in a place called Attymacue, and it's just 5 kilometres from Foxford, and it's up in the mountains. It's beside the Yellow River, which you can hear in sitting at the back of the cottage, which drains into the Moy River, so there's good fishing in the area. And it's a beautiful place.
Well, can you remember when you first saw it, or why did you buy it back then?
Well, I can remember when we first saw it. I couldn't believe the peace in it. We used to go there for holidays, and once you go there, you don't feel like leaving.
Yeah.
The scenery is fabulous. There are beautiful walks around the place. And we have lovely neighbours there as well. It's just such a peaceful place.
This is a real act of generosity on your part and Patrick's part to give that up to help these people. I just can't get over it. It's a big deal. How much have you raised so far?
so far, as of this afternoon, it's up to an amazing figure of €885,000.
Right. Okay. I have to admit now that my wife and I bought a ticket just in case, you know, just in case we're drawn by the computer and people say it's a fix.
So, yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
but when we read the original article in the Irish Times, we just thought, we were just, you know, fell in love with the picture of the cottage. So people can go to rafflecreator.com. And if you put in a cottage in Ireland, you'll get the whole system. And it's all computerised, isn't it, Joan?
Yes, it's all online. You have to buy your ticket online. And if you want to see any more about the cottage inside and out, you can go on to Carol Kelly, CK Properties Limited website. And she's lots of lovely pictures of it. She's an estate agent based in Ballina. And she don't mind me saying so. And she's given us so much help with this.
Okay. You've had lovely family times, I would imagine, in the cottage over the years.
Indeed we have, yes. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place.
And do you mind me asking what age you are and Patrick? Is that a too personal question?
What age we are?
Yeah.
The wrong side of 70.
That's how you, Patrick. How are things? Yeah. And six children, and so they're all grown up now.
They're all grown up now and doing their own thing, and they're all out in the world, yes.
Yeah, all over the world, are they? Or
all over the world, yes, indeed, yes.
Yeah. When you say you live part of your year in Canada and part in Ireland, how do you split it?
How do we split it? Well, we like to be in Ireland in the summertime, but it's kind of damp and wet and cold in the winter. So,
yeah, so
we
you
try and go somewhere else then.
Yeah, yeah. And you're living a full life, going to see whales down in Mexico and the like.
Yes, absolutely. I'm making the most of my retirement, as we both are.
What's
and
on the,
recommend that to everybody.
What's on the bucket list then? What plans have you got when this COVID thing is over?
What plans have we got?
Yeah.
Oh, well, more of the same. Do the best you can every day.
Right.
Live each day as best we can.
Okay.
And help people as much as we can too, because I worked in the
in
the hospitals.
So we're giving it a big plug now. Hopefully it'd be great if it went up to a million. Rafflecreator.com, a cottage in Ireland, €10, and you could have that 150-year-old cottage. You could have the deeds to that before the weekend's out. What will you do with the money? How are you going to spend it to help these people?
Well, we are actually thinking now of setting up an educational bursary to help the people and those people who are working in those jobs, because education is the key, and we have thought maybe that's the best gesture to make.
Okay. That's a lovely idea.
And we also are having negotiations with various charities to see if one of them could take it over for us, so that we wouldn't be wasting any of the money that people have donated for this reason.
Yeah. Final question for you, Joan. You've probably had the chats with Patrick about who will move into your cottage, who will win the raffle. And I would imagine, because you have emotional ties to it, that you'd like, you know, it to be the right person. But you've no control over that.
None whatsoever. We have no control over that.
Yeah.
The draw is purely computer generated. Because
I was going to say I'd be a lovely owner for it and I'd treat it really well, but it doesn't.
Oh, yes. Well, if I could have, I'd put in a name for you. Your name.
Put in a word for me, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, When you get the winner, we might talk to him next week. But for the moment, Joan, mind yourself, and mind yourself, Patrick. And thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us.
And thank you very much, Ray. Been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks, Joan. Yeah, so that raffle closes at 10 o'clock tonight, rafflecreator.com. The tickets are a tenner. In aid of a great cause there, and you heard Joan describe the cottage. It sounds like paradise over there in the Ox Mountains in County Mayo, 5 kilometres from Foxford. We have to take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Neil has said, keep them clean, your fantasy weekends. Thank you very much. My fantasy weekend will be flying a plane especially adapted for my hubby's wheelchair and flying to France a la Rochelle. or to La Rochelle, sorry, not a La Rochelle, to La Rochelle. Just Magic says, Val, and the perfect weekend is where Waterford win the All-Ireland hurling. Dreams do happen, saving that. A trip to Connemara or Kerry, stuff in my face will suffice, from Neil on his way to Connemara National Park to climb the diamond. And I don't want to be greedy time-wise, so I won't take up a weekend, but I will be greedy guest-wise. I would love a dinner party and long evening in my own house with the following guests. Myself, my wife, accompanied by Mark Knopfler, lovely man. Dave Fanning, lovely man. Michael Harding, very lovely man. Dermot Ferger, Michael Portello and Mary McAleese. There's your dream dinner party guest list. There'll be some heavy conversations there and political ones. I haven't seen my partner since the 7th of March. He's in Spain and I haven't been able to go there or he come to Ireland. So for me, I would love to go to Spain, just be with him, hold his hand and go for a walk to my favourite tapas bar, Maria. The simple things, Maria. Now, as I was saying at the top of the show, when you hear the term cocooners, we think about people over 70, but there is a large number of people, a lot younger than 70, living with an underlying medical condition in Ireland, which means they've had to cocoon for several months as well. And with the number of COVID-19 cases, unfortunately, still reaching the hundreds every day, there doesn't seem to be an end in sight for them either. Amy Doyle is 32. She's on the line. How are you doing, Amy?
Hi, Ray. I'm good.
Thanks for taking our call. And Aoife P. Rafter is on the line as well. How are you doing, Aoife?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I have to give you your age. You're 28.
Yes, that's me.
So neither of you are anywhere near 70, but both of you are cocooners. So let's find out about you. Amy, you've lupus.
I do, yes.
Tell us what lupus is.
So lupus is an autoimmune disease. It means that your immune system is overactive. So it doesn't know to defend against infections and then it can attack healthy tissue. So your organs and that kind of thing. And okay. it affects your joints like arthritis as well.
Okay. And would you have been aware of how dangerous something like COVID-19 would be to somebody like you?
Obviously, when we kind of heard the first stories about it from China, I was kind of vaguely aware, but I think like a lot of Irish people, I didn't think it would get this far. But I was quite fortunate in a way in that a friend's father is actually a leading epidemiologist in Texas, which isn't, you know, a normal thing for friends' fathers to be doing. So I was actually given advice from him very early on. So it was before the government came up with the term cocooner or anything like that. So he kind of gave me the advice of to kind of very limit my interactions, wear a mask when I go outside, to kind of avoid public places, that kind of thing. So I think I was maybe more aware than most people of the danger of it early on.
Yes, yes. And yeah. What could happen to you if you got COVID-19?
It would probably be fatal.
Would it?
I'd be very fortunate to survive it, from what I've been told. I've had kind of interactions with my lungs previously. Like I had a very severe bronchitis, almost pneumonia in January. So if I did contract COVID, it probably would end up being fatal.
Right.
Yeah.
That's difficult to deal with, isn't it?
It is. It is. Like, you don't really think you're going to face up to your mortality at age 32.
No, no.
It's not really something that you think you're going to have to do. So, yeah, it's taken some adjusting to
mentally,
I suppose.
Yeah, to get your head around
definitely.
It. Yeah, yeah. And Aoife, you poor thing, you've had a rough time of it over the last 18 months.
Yeah, hasn't been a walk in the park. Yeah, I have cystic fibrosis, which is a life-threatening lung disease.
Yeah.
There's about 1,500 people in Ireland with cystic fibrosis. Most of us, like you're saying, are young people. I know dozens of young people in this same boat. And then also last June 2019, I was diagnosed with quite a large cervical cancer tumour. So I've had a hysterectomy to remove that, and over Christmas I had 25 sessions of radiotherapy. So that's kind of knocked my immune system as well as everything else.
My word. Yeah. And then COVID happens.
And then COVID happens. I was just trying to get my life, I suppose, back to normal and start living again after it being on pause for so long for the oncology treatment. But obviously that was put to a halt when COVID came along. And like Amy, yeah, just cocooning now for months on end, going out of my mind of it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment. But just on the cystic fibrosis, because we've spoken to a few people over the last 6 months or so who have cystic fibrosis. And they were saying that they're used to cocooning in a way.
Yeah, definitely used to taking so many precautions for our health. This is just such a crazy, large, direct scale for us, bigger than we've ever had to deal with before.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're dealing with cervical cancer as well on top of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just been a very hard time. God. I really feel exhausted from it all.
Yeah, and then what you didn't mention there, which is... like, to get your head around that. And then you're dealing with early onset menopause as well because of the cervical cancer.
Yeah, yeah, the radiotherapy caused the menopause. So I'm going through that now at the moment as well at age 28. So it's no walk in the park.
No, how are you?
I'm not great, to be honest. Like Aoife Rafter is generally quite a positive person and a really upbeat person who likes to make the most of feeling well on the days that I do. And I hate to waste days where I feel well because I'm often so unwell. But I'm definitely starting to struggle lately. My mental health is spiraling lower every week. It's just getting too hard.
And are you getting out for walks, or is that prohibited?
I mean, I am. I just have to go at off-peak times, not really during the weekends. The weekends, I can't really do a whole lot. Too busy.
Yes, too many people around, yeah.
Yeah, and sure, the weather's not ideal most days either, so...
And who have you got to support you?
My family. I'm back in my family home since I had cancer.
Right.
And my boyfriend is a great support too, but unfortunately he doesn't live in Kildare. I live in Kildare.
Oh, so you're in Kildare as well. My word. As if it couldn't get any worse.
Yeah, I know. I'm Kildare, so I'm in the bit of a lockdown again.
Yes.
And he lives in Wexford, so that's not ideal.
And when was the last time you saw him?
Not that long ago. I've been able to kind of take more risks before the Midlands lockdown came along. But there was 17 weeks there where we didn't see each other, and that was hard.
Yeah, very difficult.
Yeah.
And Amy, can I ask you about your love life?
So I live with my partner, but it was a slightly unique situation in that they're from Liverpool. And they were over visiting just as lockdown began. And my housemate was moving out. So it all kind of culminated in them moving in very quickly. And so we're very fortunate. Unfortunately, not like Aoife, I think otherwise we would have been like you and not being able to see each other probably. Who knows when we would have seen each other, but it was all a bit of a rush and a bit of unexpected, but it's worked out very well.
That was my next question. Is it working out? Yes, and that's...
No, it's worked out very, very well. They're an excellent support.
Yeah. There's that lovely word, serendipity. That was serendipitous, wasn't it?
All it
of that
was
serendipitous.
It was.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the whole word, the cocooner, you know, and the implications and you know, the sort of, I know a lot of people over 70 hate the word. How do you feel about it, Amy?
It's an interesting one. It's not one I would have chosen myself. I think it implies, I suppose, a bit a lack of autonomy.
Yeah.
And kind of over vulnerability, I suppose, that kind of... cocooners maybe wouldn't particularly live full lives to begin with, and you know, that you're kind of sheltering away from society. I think there maybe would have been a better way to phrase it, and one that maybe put the onus not just on the people cocooning but on society as a whole. in terms of like protecting the vulnerable.
And of course, that's come into sharp focus over the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? With various things that have happened. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So like Golfgate has been talked about, you know, ad nauseum there. But what about something like, say, the you know, the anti-mask protest last weekend? How does that make you feel?
That was incredibly frustrating. Seeing people just completely dismiss myself and people like Aoife, and, you know, there's almost, I think there's over a million people cocooning, roughly. So seeing them just kind of having zero empathy and thinking that, you know, a few minutes of discomfort for them wearing a mask or having to, you know, socially distance, that discomfort is worth more than our lives is very frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. Aoife, like, mentally it's a big challenge for you. Do you see light at the end of the tunnel?
I mean, some days I do, some days I maybe don't. It's hard to see a light at the end of the tunnel because, as Amy said, like, they're the like that the campaign for the anti-masks. I mean, there's so many people in the country that we're up against in that way who aren't really seeing the bigger picture, or the individual picture maybe for people like us. So I feel with that mentality against us, it's very hard to see that this is definitely going to be combated and we're going to get over this. I'm sure that we are. I need to hope that we will. But it just doesn't feel like it some days, to be quite honest. It does feel hopeless sometimes.
At 28, what do you miss most? What from your past life do you miss?
Yeah, I just miss, I suppose, the sense of adventure. And I really thrive off connecting with my friends and my boyfriend. I just really miss spending time with the people that I love in a safe, carefree way.
Yes, yeah.
You know, everything is just a little bit amplified with anxieties at the moment. So I just kind of miss that freedom, I suppose.
Mm. What about you, Amy?
Similar. I miss connecting with my friends and just having the freedom and not having, I think right now I'm kind of dealing, there's always going to be an underlying kind of fear or anxiety, even just in terms of going out for a walk. Because while I do think the majority of the population is trying their best, there are going to just be those people who aren't trying and don't care. So, you know, there is always that fear. When I go for a walk, is, you know, is someone going to be too close to me? And so, yeah, just being able to go about and live my normal life and see my friends. And I miss just even doing a supermarket shop.
Yeah. Well, there's something about shopping in a supermarket. Which particular one? Is there any particular one? Or
I miss Lidl. I miss the Lidl middle mystery aisle.
Right.
Going along and, you know, looking for a low-priced slow cooker or something. I do miss that.
I went in for some sliced ham and I came out with a slow cooker.
exactly. Yeah.
And of course, both of ye, I would imagine, look, you're young and you look healthy. As somebody said earlier on, I look healthy to everyone bar my doctor. And I suppose people out there are aware that if they encounter somebody who looks over 70, that they're going to be cognizant that, you know, they're cocooners, but they wouldn't have the same approach to somebody like E. And how do you communicate that to people, or do you, Aoife?
I've kind of been up against that my whole life. I'm sure Amy has too. When you have an invisible illness or an invisible disability, you're just up against that the whole time. I'm often stuck in that scenario when I'm getting dizzy on a Lewis and, you know, there's spare seats, but elderly people are kind of more liable to be offered them than me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of up against that stigma most of the time. But at the moment, I'm not afraid to probably give a few glares and have a crossword with someone,
yes.
Which I hate doing. Like,
I know.
I don't want to be advocating for myself all the time and giving out, but I have to stay safe.
It's energy sapping, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, needs must.
Lovely to hear Amy on your show. Good luck, girl, says Noel. And fair play to Aoife. She's some woman, from her friends in Kildare. And lovely to hear your programme. My daughter, who's 28, is also cocooning. Is there a Facebook page or group which links all these people so they could chat together? There's an idea. There must be hundreds or thousands of them.
Yeah.
That's Mary. That's Mary's idea. So there you go. That's somebody's job for the weekend. Just so you can share stories and give yourselves support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may be something. It may be something. Listen, thanks for taking time out. Mind yourselves, and I mean that, with sincerity, because you need to mind yourselves. And hopefully we'll be at the other end of this sooner than we think. Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Aoife.
Have
a good weekend.
Ray.
Bye now.
And
bye.
Thanks, Aoife.
Bye.
Thanks, Amy.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gramago Seamus, thank you very much. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Just at the end of August. It's been a mad 8 months, hasn't it? I was just thinking about Amy and Aoife there during Nocht. And we just need to be aware of people, don't we? And you don't know what's going on in people's lives. And if you live your life like that, I think your approach to life will improve. That, you know, people behave in a certain way. You don't know what's going on. They could be going through a very rough time with their partner at home. Somebody that they love could be ill. They could be ill themselves, although it's not obvious. So you just have to be aware of people. And if we learn anything from the last 6 months, I think that's a key thing. And not just the physicality of people, but what's going on in their lives as well. Now, Michael wanted to distract us from COVID-19 and everything that's going on, and he threw down a challenge for us to come up with fantasy weekends that we'd like to live. Wild weekends with no restrictions. Let your imagination run free. In wild imagination. So, loads and loads and loads. We won't get through them all, but let's have a go at some more. We get a bit of music there just to keep us. Yeah, there you go. Okay, here we go. I'd spend the weekend with my partner, whom I haven't seen since March. He lives in London. We would go to the local, meet up with the regulars and chat about normal things like the weather, sport and the local gossip. And of course, you'd have to have food to the value of €9. Don't forget that. No question, no hesitation. Straight on a flight to Nashville, Tennessee. Up and down the honky-tonk bars, long weekend, home Tuesday, best place I've ever been, says Frank. I'd love to take a flight with Niall Horan to any bar on any Greek island. Mags, P.S. I'm 70. He's great crack and he can sing as well. Great company, Niall Horan. We're age 63 and 64, motorbike with hubby all around the USA, or a roomy camper van. Emphasis on the roomy. I would love to rent a few cottages by the coast with a sea view and plenty of seafood and have all my children with their families with me, Angela. She's down in Ardna Crusha. And afternoon, Ray. My husband and I would love to visit the Giant's Causeway in Antrim. We were there in 2003 when our daughter was in the Special Olympics. That's Anne and Kappa Quinn. That's achievable enough. I'd like to go around Legoland with Sean Connery. And then afterwards, we go for a lovely lamb lunch in the centre of Windsor. Says Roy, that's very specific. A lamb lunch with Sean Connery, who celebrated his 90th birthday during the week, didn't he? I'd have a limo pick me and my good wife up, drive us to Dublin Airport, where there would be a plane ready to fly us to Ashford Castle for dinner on Friday night, staying in the President's Suite. After breakfast, we would be flown to Ballyfin House for lunch. Woo! And walk the grounds before being flown to Drumoland. Dinner and stay overnight again in the President's Suite. On Sunday, we would be flown to Harvey's Point for lunch and a quick hike in the Blue Stacks. And on to Adair Manor for dinner. All right, come on now. And of course, where would they stay in Adair Manor? You guessed it, the President's Suite. That's Jimmy in Dublin. That's nearly a week, Jimmy. So there, 51551 ray@rte.ie. I'll keep that going just while I tell you that next week we're on the hunt for Ireland's best chicken wings, thanks to our friends in Frank's Hot Sauce. Frank's Hot Sauce are celebrating 100 years of making their famous sauces this year. So are your wings the talk of everybody who eats them? Maybe you have a magnificent marinade that makes everyone want them. Maybe you boil them, maybe you stew them, maybe you bake them, maybe you deep fry them. Whatever you do, We want to know about it. We have some amazing prizes to give away every day next week. We'll select the most delicious sounding recipes. We'll have a daily winner on air. And thanks to Frank's Hot Sauce, we've got some amazing Weber barbecues to win. And then next Friday, we will announce the winner. And our judge is on the line, Gina Daly from The Daily Dish. Hi, Gina.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
You too.
You always get a mention up in the office.
Oh, well, that's great to hear.
Do you know why that is?
I was your last person, real life person in the studio.
That's it. So we said, oh, remember the days when we used to have people in studio? Now we can have people back in studio, but not as many as we'd like. Good to talk to you again. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you very, very much. Thrilled.
Do you know, if you look very carefully, they've done these lovely photographs for the RTE Autumn launch, and they took pictures of people in their homes, and, you know, I got it done. But if you look very carefully, behind me on the kitchen counter, I could say I put it there on purpose, but it was there, is your book. It's tiny in the background.
Product placement. I'll slip you a few bob for that, right?
So that's product placement. Yeah. Okay, so chicken wings, Gina.
Yes.
How do you do yours?
Well, I think you know what I'm going to say.
Yes.
I do mine in the air fryer.
Yes.
Purely because obviously you want to get rid of the greasy elements. But if I didn't have an air fryer and I wasn't being as health conscious, I would deep fry them without a doubt.
Would you? Yeah.
Yeah. For that nice crispy skin. Gorgeous.
And what about the sauce?
Well, Frank's is my go-to.
Yeah.
I'm pretty well known for using Frank's in everything from a bolognese to a lasagna.
They love you. They love you. We didn't know that when we asked you. We just thought you were the right person to be a judge. But no.
Yeah, it pretty much goes in everything. It's kind of like my salt or my pepper. It's a staple in my press. But my wing sauce, my go-to wing sauce would be Frank's, some honey, some butter, a little bit of vinegar. Very like kind of elephant and castle-y.
Yes,
kind of.
Yes, yeah.
Type of marinade, absolutely gorgeous. But some off the wall ones as well, like peanut butter and jelly.
Right, you do chicken wings and peanut butter and jelly.
In that sense, it's using Frank's hot sauce, a little spoonful of strawberry jam. So it still has a little spicy kick to it, a little bit of sweetness. And then I use like a peanut butter powder. So it's
right.
Almost like a sauce heated up and you just put it over the top. And it's very different. But,
yes.
You know,
I don't know.
It's your thing.
I don't know if it'd be my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea. Yeah. I've just seen that we've got loads of Father Ted clips there. They've managed to get them for me. So that's great. We'll be playing them in. And what about before you put them in the air fryer or the deep fat fryer? Do you season them with anything?
So if you want them really crispy, I put corn flour or baking powder on them.
Right.
And that kind of just when you throw them in the air fryer or if you do them in the oven, it just gives them an extra crispiness to them. So when you put your marinade on it, the marinade doesn't make the chicken go back kind of soft.
Very nice. Okay, what are you looking for then? Because there are people now listening. Frank's Hot Sauce celebrating 100 years. They've given us some great prizes across the week next week. You'll be cooking them all up on Friday and deciding on your winner. So what are you looking for?
Okay, so something a bit different, I suppose. Like, I know not everybody's gone to peanut butter and jelly type of thing, but something a little bit different. I like really spicy. I don't know about you, Ray.
I like very spicy. Very spicy, yes.
I always go for the spiciest thing. So, just something a little bit different. Nothing too mad now because I have to cook them.
Of course, yes. You see, normally what we would have done was invited the finalists up to cook them here. But with, you know, the way things are, obviously, we can't do that. So that's why you're getting the job of cooking them. But thanks for volunteering. You didn't. No, we volunteered you. Anyway, but yeah. So spicy is your taste. Okay.
Spicy, and even a nice dipping sauce. Nice kind of, I love a blue cheese dipping sauce.
Yes,
it's not everybody's thing, but absolutely. gorgeous. And a homemade one is very nice too. So if you've any nice dip and sauce recipes, let me know.
Well, I just do that one. It's blue cheese, mayonnaise and sour cream and and then a bit of Worcestershire, which I can never say.
Worcestershire sauce.
A bit of Worcestershire sauce. And that's delicious. And then I'm sort of... traditional, I do the celery. Jenny doesn't like the celery at all and dip it into the I don't dip the chicken wings into the sauce at all. I dip the celery in. That's what I do.
Celery, to me, is just pointless.
it's pointless. No, well, you see, this is me. I go like chicken wings, they're not the healthiest of things. So I'll have the celery that's my veg. That's my veg. Yeah, that's my veg. Okay. Right. So ray@rte.ie, we want your chicken wing recipes. I think there are people around the country who are going to be thinking long and hard about sharing the recipe with us, because they might be a secret. For a long time, I remember people were trying to figure out the mystery of the Elephant and Castle chicken wing. People were trying to replicate it. And then along came Frank's hot sauce, didn't it? And that changed the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I actually only realised the recipe very recently myself. I was in an Elephant and Castle and I may have been told the secret.
Right.
But I didn't realise there was loads of butter, there was vinegar, there was all that kind of stuff in it. But typically I would just throw in a load of Frank's hot sauce and heat it up and away we go. But it's nice to...
The butter helps it and the vinegar helps it as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It smooths it out and makes it more kind of spreadable.
Oh, yeah. What a nice rocket salad. I actually, because we launched it yesterday and I was in the supermarket yesterday evening, so I bought the chicken wings. In our supermarket, there's never chicken wings on a Friday. I think, because people... It's a weekend thing. So people are planning for the weekend. So I have them in the fridge. So I don't know if they'll be tonight or tomorrow night. So I'm looking forward to that. I can't enter, of course, because I work on the show, just so you know. I'm proud of my chicken wings. I'm proud. I think I've got that sort of restaurant type flavour thing going in them. But I'm not going to share my recipe with people. So ray@rte.ie. We're looking for the best chicken wings in Ireland. Get them into us now, ray@rte.ie. And you're looking for the sort of the accoutrements as well, the sort of the garnishes, the sauces, and if there's celery or whatever you do around it as well.
All the bits and pieces. Yeah.
All the bits and pieces.
Bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And do you cut your chicken wing in two?
No, I buy them as portions, so you can actually buy the little drumstick. And the other part, the flat ones and the drumsticks, that's what I call them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an official name for them, yes.
because my kids, my little fella would eat the hand off you, but my daughter would be quite fussy. And if I was to put a full wing with the tip and the kind of the bit of the breast on it, she would know. Whereas if you give them in a bowl like that, it's less obvious what they are.
So well, for people who buy wings, you can get, a good kitchen scissors and cut the tip off and then cut them in half. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right. ray@rte.ie. We're looking for your chicken wing recipes. And Gina will be back next Friday to cook them and judge them. How's Carl and Holly and Ben? They're all good?
They're all good. All good. The kids went back to school yesterday for the first time, so...
Right.
It was nice to have a bit of peace in the house. We were nervous, but it was nice to have a little bit of peace. So they're all good. Thanks for asking.
And you managed throughout the lockdown and you all survived and...
Yeah, it was grand. Good. It was a tough time for a lot, and I know a lot of places suffered. But look, we're almost through the other side now. Yeah. Hopefully, things will get a bit better. But
hopefully, fingers crossed. Yeah. Okay, Gina, we'll speak to you next Friday.
Thanks a million.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. And just on wings, I'm not big on the bones. What does she advise? Well, you can't do wings without bones. And if you do them properly, the meat should just fall off the bones, I think. I'd love to spend a weekend with Anthony Hopkins watching TV and sharing a bottle of Chianti. That's a Silence of the Lambs reference there from Kathleen. I will visit the villa in Italy with Paul Mescal, Ellen in Kildare. He's in demand, is Paul Mescal. And you're on lockdown, Ellen. So that's not going to happen. Of course, it's fantasy weekend. My fantasy weekend would be a trip to Vancouver with my two daughters to have dinner and be serenaded by Michael Bublé, and then off to Boston to see the spectacular autumn leaves and out to see the whales. Sheer bliss. Of course, I'd bring my husband and then the boys. They would not be allowed to partake in the serenading as it would only be for us girls, says Karen. A bit uncomfortable as well. Maybe, maybe not. 515 on RadioRTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@RTE.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Sinead Quinlan is waiting to talk to us from our Cork studio. But first, hey, Bob Marley and the Wailers. Three Little Birds on RTE Radio 1. Always makes me smile. Now, it might feel like a lifetime ago, but it's only 9 months since Sinead Quinlan won our Stand Up and Be Funny competition. We ran it on the radio and then on the telly. And you might remember, or maybe you won't, but part of Sinead's winnings was to develop a comedy show for the RTE Player. And yesterday, she was revealed in one of the windows as part of the RTE new season launch. And she joins us now from our Cork studio. Thanks for taking time out from your very busy schedule, you famous person, Sinead Quinlan.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
You too. Yeah. I'm here in the studio now. It's gas. Like, there's nobody in the chair in front of me, but I'm still staring at it, you know, as if you're there. Like,
yeah. We should get a cardboard cutout just for these these occasions. Yeah. So how did it feel being part of the autumn launch?
Brilliant. Oh, my God. It was class. Like, I saw in my windows Carl Mullen and Dieran Garrahy.
Yeah.
It was funny. Like, so obviously we were standing inside the window, but like three of us were pure socially awkward at the start. You know, we were kind of standing there like with our two hands behind our sides. And she was like, lads, maybe a bit of movement now would be good. Like, but only for a split second did I have my leg up on the windowsill with the peace sign. And so that's the one at the end of using.
Of course.
But no, it worked out well. It was cool. Cool idea.
And in the montage, where are you positioned?
I'm under Ryan Tuberty, which is a sentence I never thought I would say. But yeah. I was like, oh my God. But it was kind of surreal, like seeing all the boys, like all the big shots. And there I was, like with my hat, thumbs up or whatever, like. But brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was honored to take part in it, like.
So I feel sort of, you know, I don't know, responsibility for you in some way.
But anyway, you should, Ray. This is your doing,
So it's great because this is bigger than I think I thought it was going to be when they mentioned that this was part of the prize.
You and me both. Because like I got the pilot, like you were saying there.
Yeah.
It's like the pilot, like it's like a tester kind of to see like what you have or whatever, what you got. But then they decided to go with a series. So I was like, oh my God, blown away. Like, so it's class. Yeah. Absolutely class.
And you're working with the two girls from Complete Aisling.
Yeah, Emer and Sarah. So they wrote the books, Oh My God, What a Complete Aisling. And it's been brilliant. It's actually such a good pairing because our humour is very similar, do you know?
Yeah.
I'd be a bit of an Aisling myself. Like, so yeah. So it's very good, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about it then. Whet our appetite.
So basically, like I'll be playing myself, but like myself in this new world. So it's kind of my mad take on what this new world looks like. So it's a slightly surreal, but at the same time, like real as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of four main themes. Like, so I'll be, you know, a stand-up comedian, obviously, throughout. So the first episode will kind of be me looking at, okay, like the comedy clubs are gone. Like, where can I bring stand-up back in my life?
Yeah.
So I may or may not be asking the priest for a favour in that one.
Is it dramatised or what way is it?
Oh, yeah. It will be kind of surreal. So, like,
right.
It'll be me writing a diary. So at the start and the finish of it, you'll see me writing in a diary. And then there'll be me talking, so you'll hear what I'm writing. So I'm kind of saying these different stories. And then it'll cut to me, like, kind of acting them out.
Right.
And the way they're doing it is kind of cool. So, like, the people will be... I'll have extras in it, so but they'll be lip-syncing, but it'll be my voice,
oh, brilliant,
if that makes
yes.
sense.
No, I like that. I know that technique. Yeah, it works really well.
Yeah, so it'll be cool, like.
Yeah.
So there's
the stand-up. What else? What other aspects of your life?
So the next one then is based on my love life.
Right.
So there'll be my ex, not my actual ex, because that would be just too much. That'd be good for good viewings, all right, but no. Imagine like me calling him up like, hey, so I'm doing a series there. So no, not my real ex, right, but okay. There'll be an ex and then there'll be a new possible romance as well.
And is that real or surreal or fictional or what is it?
A mixture, like I said. It's very off the wall, like. Right, it is okay. Off the wall.
Well, I suppose, is there somebody, a significant person in your life?
No, nobody at all. No.
Okay, rightio. So that's two. What's the third one?
Social awkwardness, which I am extremely good at. So the corned beef will make it into that one.
Great.
So we'll actually be returning to the scene of the crime for that. So the actual deli where it took place.
Right.
So that'll be fun. And then the last one is me kind of facing my fears. But obviously I don't have normal fears. So like I have a fear of parrots, for example, because they can speak. And I just feel like people have kind of just normalised that and it's really not normal at all. Like, you know, that bird can speak. Like, so, yeah. So just, it's cool, like, they're really kind of just, and they'll be, like I said, off the wall things in it, like, with, then there is kind of, we do touch on coronavirus and, you know, there'll be social distancing and, you know, people wearing masks and stuff, but, like, we don't really go into too heavy, do you
know?
Okay. Yeah.
Very exciting, isn't it, Sinead?
Yeah, it's crazy, like, what an experience, you know, and geez, in the middle of a global pandemic as well, like, crazy stuff.
This is a week you won't, or a year you won't forget, not a week. So you just moved in, I think, the last time we spoke.
Yeah, we just moved into the city, city slicker now.
Right, how's that working out for you?
Pretty good, yeah. So I'm living with my two friends. We've known each other for years. But thankfully, we do have a spare room. So one of the girls uses that. I'd say if we didn't have that now, we'd definitely be a lot more on top of each other. There could have been a bit of a more arguments. But we, like, I mean, if we could survive lockdown together, like, I think we're friends for life.
Anything, yeah. And when will we see it? When will we see this?
So I don't have
series.
An exact date.
Right.
So hopefully, it'll definitely be before the end of the year anyway, but hopefully maybe around end of October, November-ish. So
great.
It'll be soon.
Are you a fan of Father Ted?
Oh, am I what? Absolutely love it. Like.
Okay, yeah. we've loads of clips here because you know that they've put clips from Father Ted, quotes from Father Ted onto stamps. That's the big news.
Yeah.
And we're going to be speaking to Pauline McLean next week about it. Let's see this one. Pauline McLean, here she is.
Now then, who's for tea?
Me, please, Mrs. Doyle.
Tea! Sick!
I'm fine, Mrs. Doyle.
You won't have a cup.
No, thanks, Mrs. Doyle. Honestly, I won't have a cup.
Are you sure now it's hot?
No, I'm not in the mood, thanks.
All right, so, I go on, would you not have a drop?
No, thanks anyway,
just
Mrs. Doyle.
Cup.
I'm fine.
I go on.
No, really.
I'll tell you what, Father. I'll pour
seriously.
A cup for you if you want. No. And what do you say to a cup?
Take off, cup!
I could see you, if they remade it in a few years' time, you'd make a great Mrs. Doyle, wouldn't you?
Oh, totally, yeah. Oh, my God. It just never gets old, like.
No.
It never gets old. It's brilliant.
Now, that would be too long to put on a stamp. You might have copped that.
Yeah.
that clip. But this part of this is on one of the four stamps.
I was just saying, Father, how I'm looking forward to discussing the social effects of some of the church's thinking as regarding issues of personal morality.
That would be an ecumenical matter.
Yes, I suppose it would. So that's a good point, Father.
Yes!
That would be an ecumenical matter.
Do you know, the theme tune of Father Ted is actually my ringtone.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was trying to find it on the computer, but the computer said no. So it's done by Neil Hannon from Divine Comedy. Dee, 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 dee. On that note, which is probably a flat note, Sinead Quinlan, thanks very much for talking to us today. Good luck. We
thanks
look forward
million.
To seeing it on the RT player. And let us know and we'll let them know.
Thanks
when
a million. Happens.
See you. Have a great weekend.
Bye,
see you, Sinead.
You too.
Bye. That's it from us. Mary Wilson's on the way. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Have a brilliant, safe weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.